Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Soundboard, that's nice.
You like it? That's analog, baby.
I don't know if I like it.
Analog, likes baby.
Likes a strong word.
Hey, real quick, thanks for waiting for me to make it.
Well,
I slid right into home base.
Thanks for being late.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I took a flight. I was stuck in traffic. I've been driving literally all day, flying all day, and
we'll tell everybody where you were.
I was at Sundance last
Sundance.
Week.
Sundance.
Man.
How many shows do you have?
We played three shows. We did two shows Saturday and Sunday. We did a show opening for G Love from G Love and Special Sauce yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I did a radio show and a TV show for promo, and I saw four movies and did 2 days of snowboarding too.
You sore?
I'm sore. I'm sore, but I was kind of disappointed with the movies.
What movies?
I saw all docs because I love the docs usually. And
oh, documentaries.
Yeah, and. Three of the four were terrible.
What were they?
One was called Discovery and the Renaissance of the Romantic Sciences.
That seems and boring.
So, well, you know, I thought it was going to be this amazing doc on space.
Real boring.
Well, that's what it was pitched as, like this space exploration thing. And it ended up being this guy that didn't even show a movie. He just got up and started singing these really cheesy karaoke songs with theories of space and yeah, it was terrible. That was how I started. And then the second movie, the band flew in. They had no sleep. They got up at like 6 a.m. And you know, let me ask you, if you're looking at titles, the title was Narcissister Organ Player. What would you think the movie's about?
It's a musician.
That's what I thought, yeah. Right? I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get this music doc. And, you know, sometimes they have little blurs, but it's just like when you're at the box office, you can't read all of them. So I bought this. I bought two movies for the guys. This movie is about a character named Narcissister who wears a mask, and she's, like, naked, and she pulls things out of her vagina, and she pulls things out of her ass, and she was telling this story about how her parents met, fell in love, and got sick and died, basically. And she told this whole story in the strangest way possible. So the guys, most of the guys had never seen a Sundance movie. So that was their first experience.
Mm.
And it was really odd. And the whole time, I'm like giggling. I'm like, this is, A, it's so terrible. And B,
how did these things get into Sundance?
That's what, you know what? And the weird thing was the moderator, so they have Q&As after this movie, right?
Yeah.
So the moderator was, like, completely jocking this girl. Like, it was almost like she was in love with her. And I was like, this is weird. Because everybody in the room knows that this movie sucks. And the moderator's like, you know, you're really making a strong voice for feminism. And it's just like, what? No, this is not feminism. This is just crap that somebody thinks is somehow marketable or just intriguing, which is so really, really strange. And then the third movie I saw was actually a fantastic doc called Bisbee 17, and it was about a city called Bisbee in on the border of Arizona and Mexico. And do you know this story?
I know the town of Bisbee.
Do you know the story? In 1917, they started taking immigrants that were working in the copper mines, and they just like shipped them away, and there was like all this tension between like the natives and the immigrants, but there were also some, you know, American families that were also split up, one of which was like a sheriff, and he arrested his brother and, you know, basically, shipped them all to New Mexico. It was a very weird story, And then you see how it parallels with what's going on with Trump and what's happening in our country today. It was so terrifically done, and all the people that were in the movie were ancestors of the people from that town, or ancestors of the people that were shipped away.
Wow.
So it was super powerful, super poignant, and it was like, oh my, this is a Sundance movie. And then the movie I saw yesterday was a movie about a fashion designer named Westwood, and it was really boring. Yeah. It was English.
So you just said fashion designer, I got bored.
And you know what? And the funny thing is it said, this is the title of the movie, Westwood, punk activist icon. And I'm like, oh, this must be like about a punk rock, you know, musician, something, you know. And I was like, oh my God, this is just swing and a miss. So the movies I was disappointed with, but our shows were awesome. The first show was just completely packed wall to wall. And second show was pretty good. The third show, a really cool thing happened because G-Love, we played with G-Love at Arroyo Seco. And so in his set break, I went up to him and I was like, hey man, we just opened for you. We played with you at Arroyo Seco. He's like, I remember you. He's like, did you bring your horns? I said, they all flew home. And I'm like, hey man, are you going to play Honor and Harmony tonight? Which is one of my favorite G-Love songs. And he was like, yeah man, I'll play it for you. So he opens up his set and he's like, all right, this is a special request. And he just starts playing the song.
Oh,
and I'm
cool.
Just like freaking out. I'm like, dude, this is insane.
That's cool.
So we hung out a little bit afterwards. But yeah, it was crazy. It snowed. I drove through blizzards.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. The whole night was amazing. And I mean, the whole week was amazing. So I'm exhausted, but it was really fantastic. But I got to tell you, there were a lot of movies I was like thinking, how the hell did this get in? And I don't know what the panel is for Sundance, but I don't know if it's, you know, depreciated a little bit, but it definitely has. I've seen better movies at Sundance. The one movie I really wanted to see, but it was totally sold out. There's a Robin Williams documentary that's coming out, and HBO bought it, and that was like the movie everybody wanted to go see. So it was sold out in the first like hour. But there was another movie on Studio 54, and it was just a good time. But I met. Do you know who Jeffrey Wright is?
The name sounds familiar.
Have you seen Westworld?
No.
So he's an African American actor on that show. Did you ever see the movie about Basquiat?
No.
Where David Bowie played Andy Warhol? He played Basquiat. So he walked. We were walking to our gig, and he walked right by me, and I just stopped him. I was like, "Dude, you're one of my favorite actors. You're awesome." And he was like, "Thanks, man." I was like, "I just literally watched the movie with you playing Basquiat," and I'm like, "I love you in Westworld too." But I'm like, that first movie was his first leading role, and he's amazing in it. You know, so. He's like, thank you very much. You know, he was really cool. And then I saw Jane Fonda and I saw Haley Joel Osment.
Nice.
Those were the only celebrities I saw, but I heard John Legend was up there. A lot of people hung out with him. And the lead singer for Imagine Dragons, I think, produced a movie.
Cool.
And it was pretty cool.
Nice.
It was a good time. You're going to have to come next year, Eddie.
All right. Well, maybe.
No. You just got to commit now.
Yeah,
just commit.
Well, I can't commit that
far. Just say, you know what? I'll be there.
I'll say maybe.
Okay. That's the best.
That's
I can
as good
do.
As.
All right, ding dong. Well, it looks like our special guest has arrived.
Oh my God,
Mr. John Torres. Let's give him the studio audience clap. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey,
so much better without the soundboard.
Yeah, dude. I know. See what you're missing.
Seems
you're starting to appreciate.
Seems real now.
I like that.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing really well. I'm. It's a little bittersweet. I'll tell you why.
Why? Tell me why.
Your boy, Mr. Vancouver, Dimitri.
Oh.
His team is playing my team.
Oh, tonight?
Yeah.
Are they beating you guys?
Canucks are
not
killing
beating,
the Kings right
they're
now.
They're killing
they're
them.
They're killing the Kings
it's,
right now?
It's 5-1 in the second period. They scored, I think, 4 goals in the first period.
Oh, he's going to be gloating.
Yeah,
he's flying in tonight.
Is he really?
He's
well, there you go.
Tonight.
See,
he's
so
be gloating.
I was going to say, I felt that there was a little bit of...
Oh, man. You must have been channeling
bad,
Dimitri because, man,
mojo.
He's... You know what? He just told me, he said, because of the earthquake in Alaska...
Oh, my God, yeah.
There was a tsunami warning. Was there a tsunami warning here?
Yeah.
I think there
for
was,
the,
yeah.
like the Pacific Northwest
yeah,
area.
Yeah. Yeah, but not down...
No, because it was in Alaska, so it was like
yeah.
the... It, was, it said the West Coast, but I think they meant...
something, right? Like
9?
8.2.
Oh, I thought it was...
Wow,
a, oh, yeah, that's right. I thought
8.2.
It was 9.4.
It's frightening.
8.2.
That's crazy. And they said that wave can travel 500 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's insane.
That's crazy.
Lucky it didn't trigger
one. Right.
It was, yeah, I mean, it's just...
Well, I'm sorry about the Kings losing... But you know what? It's early in the season. Still, we still got time.
We still got a little time.
Yeah, we got playoffs coming up. It'll be all right.
Let's
It'll
hope
be
we get
all.
In.
We got, well, I know there's some bad trades.
It's an addiction. I, you know,
It was it tough to love a team? Like, I know I love the Kings, I love the Dodgers,
yeah,
but it's nothing like I love the Lakers and I love the Trojans.
And then the Lakers.
And it's hard for me to watch when they lose.
It's terrible. No, it's
analyze the game like a coach or an analyst, you know?
I can say with certainty that being a Kings fan has taken at least, I'd say, 5 years off of my life.
That's it?
At least five.
I mean, you know what? You're a pretty badass hockey player.
I play hockey.
Dude, was that... Okay, I saw a video of you. Was that you shooting the puck at the goal?
That was me, yeah.
Dude, you're a badass hockey player,
dude.
Thank
you,
sir. I was like, damn, was that John ice skating like that? Like, dude, it was crazy. He had this whole thing where he just like... and he shot the puck into the goal. I was like, damn, dude. I know he plays, but I didn't know he was like... Dude, you're like Gretzky out there.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm addicted. It is... it's church.
How did you learn to play ice hockey? I don't think we've ever talked about this proper.
No. So when I was about, I must have been 14 when Gretzky came to L.A., and that was around the first time I ever played ever. And I played, like, street, like, foot hockey once.
Like roller hockey?
Not
like
even
field
like
hockey?
On cement, but, like, with shoes and a ball. Like, that's, like, the old school way, right?
Okay, all right.
And the first time I ever played was at some kind of family reunion thing, and I got the bug.
You're like,
and I was
this
like,
is awesome.
This is what I'm going to do. And so then I... instantly, like, I was like, I got rollerblades, I played street hockey, and then I was like, I gotta play ice. So like 14 or so, I started playing ice hockey, and within like a couple of years, I was a stunt double. I don't know if I ever told you, the Mighty Ducks.
What?
Like, yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
know this.
Oh yeah, and I was
really
like, I played like 5 days a week. It was like I wanted
wow.
to go. I was a junior duck in LA, like, which I'm a Kings fan, so you know it's
oof,
a bit of a shame. But yeah, it's tarnish.
You brought
on my,
shame to the Kings family.
I did. You know, we didn't win until you know this last couple of years. So maybe that was like the curse length right there. But no, man.
And you play in a league now, too.
Now,
right?
I play pickup. I play at a pickup in Burbank twice a week with a bunch of other guys. It's really fun. But
it's a weird thing to think of a pickup hockey game.
It's a lot of equipment
for a
pickup game.
Yeah,
well,
right?
It's not like pickup like you go to the basketball court and it's all strangers.
Right.
It's like it's about the same. It's the same group of, you know, 15 guys or whatever that are there every week for the most part.
Right.
But what I mean by that is it's always variable teams. There's not like a league. There's no score. Like, there are guys.
And you don't want to commit to that.
That's my thing, is more the time commitment, just because of music. Like, I'll sub on a lot of guys' teams that play in the leagues, but I just, and those games are normally like Sunday at like 9 o'clock at night, or like whatever it is, or like
that's rough.
And it's like, you know, and other
that's
days like that.
Window.
It's not. I play on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11:15
in the morning.
Yeah, who can do that? But like a musician,
right?
Yeah, so it's all actors,
and it's great exercise. Like,
dude, you are hustling. You are hustling, dude. It's like you sweat. And
have you ever ice skated, Eddie?
No.
I can't picture you ice skating at all.
Not good with wheels or
but
ice.
But, you know, you got
feet.
The frame. Doesn't Eddie have a
yeah,
frame of a hockey player?
Yeah, I was going to say, looks like he'd be like, yeah, I do that.
He's got a good hockey chin.
Totally.
You know?
I like being planted firm on the ground.
No, but he could do it. He could act it. He could definitely play.
And where did you learn to actually play hockey?
I think just doing like street hockey. And then I had a great coach. Like, my coach was the guy who was the technical advisor for almost every hockey movie you've ever seen.
Wow.
So he was so good at teaching people the game very fast. So I ended up, like, when we did the Mighty Ducks, we trained all those actors as well.
That's
so
amazing.
We went all over the place. It was like, so he was just like amazing gung-ho coach. And
so he's like training you for the Olympics. And
big
you're like,
time.
Now you're like, well, I'm just waiting for my chance.
Totally. I'm trying out for the Kings next year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was really.
And you know what's cool about that is, like, you know, I'm sure Eddie, you on the East Coast have a lot of that, the ice hockey community.
I was grew up in Virginia, so I mean, there's the Caps,
still.
But it's not. It wasn't like a huge. It's not like living in like New England or the you know the Midwest
or totally. Canada.
Canada, of course, but yeah,
Canada's
but like
a whole nother.
It's not a huge hockey's not huge where I'm from.
Don't you have minor leagues though where you are?
I don't know. There's more. It's more
you got
north.
The Washington
like
Capitals, but
yeah, like New York and Pennsylvania have some minor league team, Buffalo stuff like that. But
yeah,
I don't think there's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a huge. Where I'm from is not a huge hockey place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think until Gretzky came. I don't think LA was really a hockey town.
No, not at all.
And then Gretzky came, and it became
totally.
A hockey town.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then everybody was disgruntled because we got so close. Do you remember the
Canadians?
Oh,
man, it was
the
worst.
Canadians.
It was the worst.
The Canadians.
It was the worst
Kings.
Year, yeah. It was like
it was tough
it was
watching
the best
Stanley
and the
Cup.
Worst. Yeah,
yes.
It was so crazy.
We got there, and it's just like...
The stick penalty that they got.
Oh, my God.
With the,
it was rough.
Control,
it's rough watching
McSorley.
A team that you love and then just, you know...
Oh, man. No, it was... Yeah, it was brutal. And then have to wait. But then, like, 2012 was just like...
That was amazing.
I was in tears.
Yes.
In tears.
Yes.
Like, absolutely.
Did you go to any of the games?
I did that year. I did. Yeah, I went to
that
a bunch.
That must have been awesome.
Yeah, and 14 as well. I went to a bunch of games. Yeah.
There, and you know what? I thought they were just going to just clean it out and just go back to back to back to back. They went back to back.
And then we are, don't get me started.
Well, they go every even year for a while.
Yeah, we could talk about our horrible front office. And it's just, yeah, we had a rough, we're still in a transitional place when it comes to our front office.
A couple of years. Well, the Canucks, they've been like that too. So don't
worry.
Yeah,
they're not in good shape. We're in better shape than them.
Yeah, so. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Things are going to work out, Eddie, right?
Yep.
I don't know.
So Dimitri, take that. Yeah.
Oh, let's get back to the music.
Yeah, what's that?
John, you've been a guest on our show before. You and I played a lot of shows together. We've written some music together.
Indeed, yeah.
You're one of my favorite singers. You're one of my favorite songwriters.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me what you've been up to.
So, gosh, for the last few years, I've been working in collaboration with a writing partner of mine who I have a publishing agreement with, and we have been, just writing, recording, for a number of different projects, one of which is a adult contemporary record that I'm singing on. So it's like, and it's been weird. That one's kind of coming to the place where it's about to get a launch. It's been really a long process, I'll tell you that, because it's been like, I've been working for like 3-4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
so,
it's like a full-length record?
It's a full-length record.
Wow.
And so what we've been doing is we're working with this really amazing company that's kind of helping us with this marketing strategy and whatnot, because I haven't put out a record since 2013, and that was when I'm doing more like singer-songwriter acoustic stuff. So this is a whole nother thing, and I've done a lot of adult contemporary stuff over the years, but I've never really put out a record or tried to market to that audience.
And, you know, when you say adult contemporary, because that genre is like...
Totally. What is that?
Yeah, exactly.
I
think of like Andrea Bocelli.
And that's, you would be right to say so, but this isn't that. I'd say, you know, it's nothing like that. You know, the other artists that people mention are Michael Bublé or Josh Groban, and it's nothing like that either.
But it's so also it's, Gavin DeGraw can rock, adult contemporary.
Totally.
You know
so,
mean?
I guess it's almost better to call it vocalist music.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's in the same world as the Celine Dion's, but it's not.
Right.
And if you think about Celine Dion, what is she? Because it's not, her albums are oftentimes just pop songs, but they're sung for a big vocalist. And I'd say that's the best way to describe it.
They got to change the name then, right?
They really do.
Because it's like a very bland.
Totally.
Adult contemporary. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
And I'm adult contemporary.
Yeah, I think
Eddie,
we are.
And you technically are a contemporary adult.
Totally.
Aren't we all?
Well,
aren't all adults contemporaries?
Contemporaries. currently. If you're an adult currently, then you're a contemporary adult.
You're a contemporary adult.
Yeah.
I like that.
So in the lead up to that, we've been doing these cover songs recently. We shot a bunch of videos. Yeah. So.
You had a little string quartet on one of them?
Nutty Man, yeah.
You did a Radiohead cover, I think?
We did Oasis.
Oasis,
we did an Oasis cover, and we did
Speaking of that.
We could. Yeah, I did bring that stuff. We could listen to that.
Oh, yeah. You want to play
that?
Let's do it.
Well,
sure.
Since you had the segue, we might as well go.
Nice.
Well,
here's one of them.
Champagne Supreme.
Special people change. How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide. Champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me caught beneath a landslide. In a champagne supernova, a champagne supernova in the sky. Wake up the dawn and ask her why. Dream a dream, she never dies. Wipe that tear away now from your eyes. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova, a champagne supernova, 'cause people believe that they're gonna get away for the summer. Special people change. How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Where were you while we were getting high?
Oh.
I don't have my applause effects. But okay, we were just talking. We were talking while the song was playing. But tell our listeners what you were just saying. You're doing some covers, and you're also doing originals. Tell me the strategy, because I think it's cool.
So the company that we're working with is an amazing marketing company. You know, they know that I've kind of been doing the singer-songwriter thing for ages. So they're like, how do we draw attention to you as an adult contemporary artist?
Right.
And again, like we just said, we're adults and contemporary.
Right.
So like, it's not our parents' adult contemporary. It was Tony Bennett and, you know, Andrea Bocelli. You mentioned people like that, although I love Bocelli. But like... So, you know, when you think about it, like, we were like, why don't we do some cover songs so that we can drive some attention toward you?
Did you choose the covers, or was it...
Dude, it was a rigorous process. These people are amazing. Like, we went back and forth with, like, what are songs people really are searching for, and they're still relevant, and da-da-da-da. And so we really took a long time.
That's amazing.
It was rad, you know?
That's like doing a statistics
move. It felt like that. I was like, there's too much math going around.
No, but that's good, because you're like, you really get results when you get when you strategize.
Absolutely.
Like
and the proof's in the pudding. Like, people are really responding well to the videos. Have been blown up, and that's been kind of
awesome.
Cool. And
well deserved and long overdue.
Thank you,
I mean,
sir.
Let's be honest.
Thank you.
You've been doing it a long time, and you got a great voice.
I have
voice.
Been. I mean, thank you.
He's got the voice of an angel, Eddie.
Oh.
Hmm.
You've got the eyebrows of an angel, Eddie.
Hmm.
You like?
I don't know what that means.
I'm just kidding. So when are you releasing the album?
So that's a great question. I don't think we fully know. I think we're going to start releasing singles in February.
Okay.
But I don't know when the whole thing comes out. And it's,
and how many covers did you total?
We did four. So we've released three of them so far. We did Champagne Supernova. Yeah. We did Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me.
That was the one you just released.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we did Hey Jealousy.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
Yeah.
That was the third release?
So we released two on the same day just a few days ago.
Okay.
Which is the Bonnie Raitt and the Jim Blossoms one. And then we got one more coming out.
And what's that one going to be?
I'll tell you. It's 1979. You know.
Oh, Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah,
I love that song,
Super
dude.
Chill, did a scaled down
guitar man, that's
vocal
awesome.
Version. Yeah.
And how did you talk about, how did you come up with the idea for the arrangements?
Okay, we got a guy, a really talented kid named Huey Stonefish, who we brought him in to help arrange. But it was pretty organic, I'd say, with the exception of like string stuff, which he really had a cool, a lot of ideas on. We kind of sat, he and I sat in the studio at my place, and we sort of played piano vocal versions of them, and then we just sort of hashed out and carved away at like what instrumentation we thought. We had a sense that like it was just going to be vocal and some strings, which is kind of what we did. One of them's like some drums and an upright bass.
I mean, I love the arrangement of the Champagne Supernova. It's so stripped down,
super fun,
intimate, and
totally
unique. And it's like you make it sound like it's a new song.
Man,
that's what's awesome
about
it.
That was the goal. So the fact you're saying that's encouraging. And, you know, the players are awesome, man. It was a really Max Mueller on the on the cello is just like ridiculous.
And tell everybody all the people that you were just doing sessions with.
So yeah, so in the lead up to the record, we just so now we're kind of trying to get the first single sort of locked away. Ironically, so we recorded the record with an amazing guy, a guy named Kevin Dukes produced the record, but then we're also producing some other tracks. So we just did a track with Joe Ciccarelli, who produced a bunch of big names.
You said Elton John.
I think it was like Elton John and like Etta Mraz. James and things.
Damn,
like
Mraz. Etta James?
He did like the Big Shins records.
Wow.
And like it's like his list is like, it's ridiculous how many people's work with him. And the players that were on the song are like amazing. So
you said Sean Hurley.
Sean Hurley's on it, and Victor Andrizzo and Roger Manning. And
did you know these guys were all going to be there?
I knew that he was bringing in some people. So that's wow. You know. But yeah, I mean, and again, that's a lot going on. So it's like down the pipeline. So
and then, are you writing it together? Or are you just writing with two or three?
So my writing partner is a guy named Chip Rosenblum, who I've been friends with for a long time. And so he and I actually wrote the song a few years ago, and we've been kind of writing and compiling songs for this whole process. So this was one of the ones that kind of stood out, I think, and I've just been chipping away at it, man. So it's
let's hear something else. What else are you gonna play?
So I'll play one more cover. I brought another one of the covers, and then I also wanted to chat a little about. I think I told you, you know, the Towers of Temple City thing. So we released three of those this year as well. It's a whole other project.
Let's talk about that. What are we playing next?
So this is a cover of Bonnie Raitt's "I Can't Make You Love Me."
Awesome, that's great.
Down the light and turn down the bed, turn down these voices inside my head. Lay down with me and tell me no lies, just hold me close and don't patronize. Don't patronize, 'cause I can make you love me if you don't, and you can make your heart feel something it won't. Here in the dark, in these final hours, I would let and I'll feel the power, but you won't. No, you won't. 'Cause I can't make you love me if you don't. My eyes, and then I won't see the love you don't feel when you're holding me. Morning will come, and I'll do what's right. Just give me till then to give up this fight. I can make you love me if you don't turn down the lights and turn down the bed, turn down these voices.
All right, yeah, analog.
Wait, hold on. I think I have
yeah, it. It's around you here with that. Come on now. Come on. Where's our studio audience?
There we go.
Oh,
yeah.
They love you, John. They're a little bit delayed, but they love you.
Yeah, they're on 30-second delay. Yeah.
So let's talk about this a little bit because it's such an interesting concept. You've got this marketing team that's like believing in you and wants to attract attention with these covers, and they're very eclectic covers, like Bonnie Raitt and Oasis.
Yep.
Would not put them in the same sphere.
In the same category,
listening stations.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And then you add Gin Blossoms.
Yep.
Also, I may have put two of those, but even two is kind of a stretch.
Totally,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really cool that you put this eclectic mix, and you got this cool instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do the originals sound like? Talk to me about how you go from there.
Gosh, and that's an interesting thing. I think we're... How you describe it? They're very. There's certainly like pop ballads, a lot of romantic stuff, hard on your sleeve stuff. But I think that they're
stuff that we love when we had a crush on someone.
Totally,
just like,
totally.
I want them to feel this.
Yeah, and they're big, and they're same. They're big vocal songs. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of money notes and things like that.
Right.
And I think genre wise, they're still. I think adult contemporary does work for it because it's mature stuff. It's not. You know, it's there's a lot of just like big vocal stuff and a lot of it's passion. It's just like a lot of passion.
What I respect too, it's like not everybody can sing the stuff like you sing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you're a singer. That's why I've always respected you as an artist, because John and I started playing the same venues for years, and I was always like, man, this guy's so good. It's just awesome. And even Dimitri, when we did a session, he was like, man, John sounds so good, man. I was like, I know. Like, these are the people that I want to always work with. Today's artists, they're not singing like that. They're not really singers.
Yeah.
Like, everybody goes crazy over, like, somebody like Ed Sheeran, for example.
Yeah.
Who's a pretty solid singer.
Yeah.
But to me, he's not. Like,
I agree. I think he's a great songwriter.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter.
That's what he is.
But he's not a fantastic singer.
And by the way, he just did a song with Andrea Bocelli. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he wrote a song. Wow. They did, like, a live video recording. It's a great song, but you're right. Like, it's like... He's got a smaller voice, and then Bocelli comes in and has the
and
big
just,
voice.
Just goes crazy.
Yeah.
So it's got to feel good that you like fill in so much space.
Yeah,
with the size of just being a singer. You
it's
know what I mean?
It's an interesting thing. It's a bit of a. It's been a blessing and a curse in the sense that, like, because I'm a songwriter. Like, I think of myself in a lot of ways as a songwriter first.
Right.
So it's been a weird process because I can't get out of the way of my voice. So like what I sing, it's always like people are kind of like, well, it's sort of like if the opposite. It's like Ed Sheeran steps into a Bocelli song, it sounds a little awkward.
Right.
If I step into an Ed Sheeran song, I think it kind of sounds a little out of place in some ways. But I've been
not
doing
really,
it.
No,
well, it doesn't. It's like,
let's be honest, because you're a badass dude. So you can say that. If you don't say that to yourself, I'll tell you.
No,
dude,
I guess what I mean though is I have a pretty voice and a passionate voice, and in some ways you want to hear it go to a bigger place.
Right.
And so when sometimes if it doesn't, it can sound a little bit like, okay. You know what
But
I mean?
You know what? It's like technique is so important. Someone was just talking to me. My lead guitarist was talking about singing on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, you can't – I've learned from like practicing singing it's really hard to teach or be taught how to be a singer. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think a lot of it's like psychological. And you have to get out of your own way. Eddie, I'm sure you're the same with performing. Like, no one can just teach you how to be funny in front of people.
We were just talking about it before. I'm like, I'm blown away by how do you get up there. And then you're just talking about how when you first start doing it, you write everything down and da-da-da. But now I get up there, it's like, yeah, I had a funny idea. I'm just going to do it.
It's just confidence. I mean, it's not a confidence thing. It's just like I've done this a thousand times before.
A thousand times, like a muscle memory kind
of
thing.
And what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
No one's going to laugh.
You just do, you basically improvise a new joke?
That's how you kind of. I kind of write on stage. I
that's
don't really.
Brilliant,
that's
dude.
Brilliant,
it's
right?
That,
that's,
well, no. Have you seen it? Have you seen the print? The process takes a while.
Yes,
it's not
no,
like
no, no,
you don't just get up and say it. It's
you
gold.
You talk about how you like you whittle stuff down.
Yeah,
but like
you take up a new idea and you talk about it and you find the funny
where
edit.
The funny stuff is. Oh,
and then
that's
it, then
but I don't think
then
as
you
a
keep whittling
do
it down. No, as a singer, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
You know what though? It's kind of funny though because you just said something that really stuck out to me. It's that. What's the worst that can happen? That thing, to me, that's the key to becoming a good anything.
Yeah,
is the what's because I remember being a kid and just whatever it was too much like adrenaline and ADD and crazy blood running through me that like I didn't care, like I just grew up without the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a large part of it. Yeah. It's like there's just this big look at me-ness.
Or if you do it enough, you realize, oh, this is the worst. Like no one's going to laugh at me. That's the worst thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And with comedy, it's so immediate. Like totally. I can bomb one for 1 minute and then like if I have a good enough joke, I can get everybody back the next. With a song, if your song sucks for 3.5 minutes,
that's true.
Half the crowd's going to walk out.
How about a movie for 2 hours?
You're not going to get them back. Comedy is so immediate, you can get people back right away. Yeah. Songs and music and it's got to be tight when you take it up there.
But don't you think sometimes with jokes, it's like it may not hit the audience, even if it was killing the night before.
Yeah,
it may not hit the audience in the same way. Or do you think this is always going to work no matter what room?
There's some jokes you have, you're like, okay, I know this will get a.
Because it's road tested?
Yeah, it's just it's road tested. But then there's some nights they don't work. You don't know. The crowd's weird. You deliver it over a different way. You're in a different headspace.
Yeah. But I just like that you can
shift gears like that.
Well, no, but then you can just try new material and
on the fly.
Quote unquote, pull it out of his ass to borrow a phrase from the movie you just saw.
Like, I would never write a song on the spot. That's why I think we're both enamored with.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's only because the duration of failure is so short-lived with comedy because the next very 30 seconds later, you can tell a funny joke and get everybody back.
Yeah, that's true.
Music, there's other people involved and there's like 3 minutes you have to...
Totally.
It's a different thing.
I love talking about the mediums.
Oh, me too, man.
It's fascinating, honestly.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting how every kind of... medium is different and how we draw inspiration.
Huge.
So you've been writing with all these studio cats. You've been writing with your writing partner.
Yeah.
I mean, working with these studio cats. What do you feel is like the sound? Like when you, let's strip away all the adult contemporary stuff. Mm-hmm. If you were just to listen to it, what would be two or three words to describe the sound that you guys have created together?
You know, I think it's just like hard on your sleeve, like earnest. There's an earnestness about it. It's passionate.
That was 4 words about it.
Yeah, 75 words. Yeah, I can't do that.
You said hard on your sleeve, and then what was the second thing you said?
Like an earnestness.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. And then just passion, which is, again, it might sound like kind of trite or cliche, but that's definitely what it is. It's just a big romance.
Honestly, if it doesn't have that, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
That's the way I. Totally. What, you know, if it doesn't have something behind it.
So totally.
Let's play an original song.
Yeah.
So
Eddie.
This is a bit of a total segue because this is not the project that we're talking about. So the originals that I brought you are for this other project that
I have. Talk about that for a little bit.
So I've got a side project called Towers of Temple City, which is something that I created with Tim Kobza. He and I co-wrote these songs, and then
he's my first guitar teacher, man.
I know, and he's still doing it, man. And so he and I wrote these songs. It's kind of like a fun. It's just been the funnest project I've been working with. A guy named Max Mueller, who also played on those covers as well, incredible cellist, and a longtime friend of mine, Will Collier, who's kind of helping me co-produce with Tim and playing piano and helping with arrangement and all this other stuff. And
awesome.
Do you know Jake Reed? Jake Reed's been the drummer. He's an amazing drummer. He plays with a bunch of people, and he's been on that. And it's just been this incredible kind of... And this is totally different. So this is more like an acoustic singer-songwriter.
And what's the trajectory like? You have this. I remember you played me some tracks.
Totally.
And it's really hip, like indie.
That's
kind
it.
Of,
totally.
It's awesome.
It's really fun.
It's like really well done indie music that there's no excuse for it to be heard. You know what I mean? It's unapologetic. That's what I like about
totally.
It.
Totally. And to be honest, this is such a labor of love. Like, there is no big marketing. I wish there was a big marketing team behind it and all that stuff. It's very just like, I've released 3 songs so far and I'm doing them one at a time. There's no album. It's all about like the single that I'm crafting at any given time. So, and I'm just like, we'll write the song. I'll go work with the musicians. We'll put it out there. You know, the ultimate, oh, and by the way, everyone I'm working with just becomes a back-end writer. Like, I'm not, no one's getting paid.
That's
everyone's
awesome.
Just like, yeah, I'll be involved for 5% of the writing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the same thing where I'm like, the ultimate goal for me is if it were to necessitate a live thing because people loved it, then there would be a live thing. But the ultimate goal is really about music videos. Like, I'm trying to find the filmmaker who wants to just make videos in the same way I'd make them a writer.
Yeah.
And it's just like I want to find somebody who's going to make music videos the same way I'm going to make you know, music, like no matter what, they're going to be doing it. And so the people who'd be doing it for free but have a real vision and a real passion for doing it, hopefully a skill for doing it. And
so I like that skill is low on the top. You're like, yeah, hopefully a skill too.
But no, it's just been this really fun project. So I think the first one is what did I send you? Under Control?
Under Control. And
so this is the first song, the second song that we released for, we've only released three so far. This one's called Under Control.
Let's hear it.
Making plans for every day, hoping that life won't get in your way. Trying to tell the wind which way to blow, telling your fortune which way it should go. So this is out of my control. My simple arrangement has taken its toll. My house of cards comes crashing down. My miscalculation toast to the town. You push yourself, you lose your breath. You feel yourself about to slip. The best laid plan is laid to rest. I guess it wasn't quite the best. Give me a way out, oh, give me the answer. The room is spinning, but I'm not a dancer. I'm going under, oh, I'm going under control. Oh, under control. Oh, oh. It's a well-worn path for sure. I pick my poison and pray for the cure. And since it always ends the same, I'm out of excuses and people to blame. But I can't see what's coming round. The cause and effect never cease to astound. How many times till I finally know that I'm not. I'm tired of this. To think I'd orchestrate my bliss. The earth will turn, the poles will switch, and we'll just have to deal with it. Give me a way out, give me the answer. The room is spinning, but I'm not a dancer. I'm going under, oh, I'm going under control. Oh, I'm going under control. Oh, under control. Oh, giving up on this arrangement. Gonna let the future be the future. Let it happen as it will. Nothing I can do to make it soon.
Instrumentation, it's such a different sound for you.
Totally.
That's
right.
What I like about
it's just nutty.
How did you even come up with the sound with the double? I know you're doing double voices.
Unisons on the voice.
Elliot Smith thing.
Very, very Elliot Smith for sure. Yeah, you know, it's weird. I put out the last John Torres record in 2013, and then I was like, I kind of hit a wall for a while for about, I shouldn't say I wrote a ton because that's right when I started my arrangement with this guy I'm working
right.
with. So I wrote a ton, but nothing for me, right? Or nothing for the John Torres project.
That's interesting.
And I was like, I don't know what comes next.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think I had just done it for a long, long time, and I was kind of like, I don't know what happens after this record.
Right.
And I didn't fight that. I just let that be for a while. And probably like a year later, I just had this breakthrough with writing where I started singing everything lower and not... Again, I've got the adult contemporary right. side of my world, right. and I started writing things where it was just like not super crazy dynamic melodic or vocal. And then the double thing seemed natural. I was listening to a lot of like Jose Gonzalez, who does yep. that a lot, and The Shins, and a little Elliott Smith, and then like Simon and Garfunkel. Those are like the big influences, a little, you know. And
let me ask you this, because this is actually an interesting question, because mm-hmm. my girlfriend likes when I just sing like that, like yeah. just in a lower register, easy breezy. I'm asking you this singer to singer.
Yes.
Is it as exciting for you as it? Because it's not for me.
Let me tell you why.
Yes.
I like it.
Okay, cool. I'm excited to hear this.
So what I've found is that, I get this a lot. One of my best friends, my friend Tino, who played with me for years.
I know Tino. Percussion. Yeah.
He, like, we used to have this conversation a lot where he'd be like, because we played a lot of shows together, hundreds of shows together, and he would be like, John, I feel like you aren't the full you that I know doesn't come off on stage. Like, there's this sort of like limited view of who you are. It's kind of like the nicer version of me, like nice John. And I was like, man, he's so right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And what I realized is I went back to the music. And what I mean by that is this. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a hockey playing, piss and vinegar, fucking...
Yeah.
I'm
young
a mess.
With the TV.
I'm not, I drink too much. I'm fiery. Yeah. And there's also a real compassionate, passionate side. I am a nice guy, right? But so I was like, why isn't it coming across? Why isn't the other stuff coming across? And I realized when you write songs where it has to get to this right. big thing at the top of your voice, what ends up happening is all the songs end up being about love and loss.
Right.
And like, so what happens, and I think you'll find this if you write more in the like lower register, is all of a sudden intellect starts coming out. Things you're pissed about, things you want to change. Because when you think about the way people talk, it's not always big and energetic. Like, the songs we love often are the ones that get us to that place of like emotion where there's a tear in your eye, in your voice, or whatever, right? But when the reason I've loved this kind of stuff is it's just like opened up a door for so many things I think about or care about or want to change. And in a lot of ways, it's the most authentic stuff I've ever written, because it's just like...
That's really interesting.
You know what I mean? It's really been interesting. And because I'd say like 1/3 of your life is in those emotional places where it's like... the big money note kind of thing. But so much of who you really are is the stuff that happens in the rest of the place.
It's the meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes of who you are. And I've found that like just breaking down the lyrics of these songs has been so much more like amazing and like rewarding. I got a song, Boy, on that we released recently that's all about like my son. And it's like... And it's just as emotional and poignant, but without going to that place.
And I think there's maybe more, like, you listen to the words a little bit more.
I feel that way. You know, I don't know if people do.
No, I feel that way,
you
too.
Know?
Eddie, let me ask you this, because Eddie loves Pearl Jam.
Oh.
And one of the things I love about Pearl Jam, obviously, is Eddie Vedder's voice. What is the moment, or is it like, do you see, like, a spectrum of his sound that moves you, or is it like, because I was listening to a couple Pearl Jam songs this weekend, and it made me think about... what I like about his voice. Do you like when he goes heavy and he's like digging in and screaming, or do you like it when he's kind of mellow and just singing the shit out of a song?
I like it both. I mean, I like everything. I mean, it's definitely changed. He, like, that 10 was just all him screaming. It was just all guttural emotion about his childhood and his relationship with him. But then he's gotten more socially aware, and it's become more, I don't know, it's less about personal things and more about the state of the world, it seems. So it's gotten less of the screaming and the yelling and more about, like you were saying, it's...
Yeah. And I think the End of the Wild thing, a perfect example like that. When I first heard that, I was like, oh my God, perfect example of somebody who can do this.
Right.
And it's so appropriate at times. But then now you bring him into this other place where it's just like, you know, very...
Well, with him, the reason I bring this up, Better Man came on the radio.
Oh.
And like, they were playing all this other stuff, which I liked. As soon as that came on, I was like, oh my God, I love this song. Took me back to the first time I heard it on radio. And that's what I still love about radio. It's like, it just surprises you.
Yeah.
But one of the things about that song that's amazing is that opening verse. You just feel this fire in his voice, and he's barely singing.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I don't ever feel that same way about lower notes than I feel about the high notes, where it takes a guttural, like, it takes your whole body to get into it.
Totally.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like... I'm asking really for myself, because you're a great singer who does pop up those mm-hmm. pop off those high notes mm-hmm. like it's nothing. But mm-hmm. those high notes, that makes it fun.
Totally.
And then and like when you're doing this middle register, lower register, I want to know that you're still exhilarating because it's yeah. not as exhilarating for me, and I want
totally,
it to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, and I think it, again, every song's different, right? So it's all about what the song requires, and sometimes a song has to go to that place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes it doesn't, and I don't know. I think there's room for all of it.
No, I think you're onto something. That's what I like about the sound. Let's play something else. What are you going
to
play?
So this last one, to that point, this is definitely one to listen to the lyrics on. It's called Boy. I wrote it about my. I have a 4-year-old, but he was probably like 1 or 2 when I wrote this. Or two. He was probably 2 when I wrote this. This is from that same project from Towers of Temple City.
All right, let's hear it.
Wheel of colors and I, I watch you name them one by one, discovering water in these mesmerizing moments in the sun. Must be time travelers, cause I blink and you have aged another day. I try to describe my feelings, but the words just sound like all those old cliches. Like hearts never loved so deeply. So many things I wish that I could say to describe these moments. I guess that's how the poets made their names. This word of such strange joy. He races round this place as if it's outer space. But before I even write the verse, I see his tiny universe has grown and he is not the same. I stand in awe here whispering his name. You've got such curiosity. Now I've begun to see this world is not the place I knew. Who you are is what you do. It's all about this moment. This moment that he can never take away. This word of such strange joy. Be time travelers, is it blinking? You have aged another day.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Eddie was getting emotional. He's thinking about his own boy.
So emotional. So emotional.
See, Eddie's like a rock. One day I want to just write something that makes Eddie
makes cry.
I want to just
it's not possible.
I think it's possible. I think
it's
deep down
possible.
In your icy cold hearts,
nope,
there is a warm fire
nope.
of love.
There is
emotionally
no more
dead.
There.
There is that callus is too thick.
Well, John, okay, you've been an awesome. I was going to say you've been an awesome audience. You've been an awesome guest. Tell us where people can find you, and tell us some release dates or some things that are happening.
Yeah, so we have, I guess johntorres.com is probably still the best place to
spell it out, because I know somebody's going to put a Z in there when they shouldn't.
Yeah, johntorres.com. And yeah, I mean, we have, again, I think Valentine's Day, we have a single. I don't know which one yet. Something's coming
awesome.
Out then. There's another one of these covers coming
That's a
out.
Video?
Yeah, oh, that'll be a video. Well, the Valentine's will be one of the first singles. I'm
okay,
not sure
awesome.
If the video will come out at the same time, but there's a bunch of videos coming down the
That's
pipeline.
Exciting.
It really is. It really is. It's a fun
gonna have
time.
To be a love song now.
I think it will be. I think it will be. But yeah, no, there's a lot coming on. You know, I'm on this usual places and Instagram and Facebook. And
So just look up John Torres?
Yeah.
It's all there?
It should all be there.
Dude.
Hope.
I'm excited. What's up?
No, I said cool.
Oh, I thought you said what?
I said cool.
Well, cool.
Cool.
John, you've been awesome.
You're always awesome. You guys are
and
awesome.
And you know what? I look Thank forward you. To big things, as always. We can't wait to have you back.
Yeah,
I'm going to book you again and again and again. Because
I love it.
You deserve to be pushed.
Why, thank you,
You deserve
sir.
To be showcased. You deserve all the things that are coming your way. So we look forward to the things that you're going to be releasing soon.
Thank you, brother.
And I want more music.
Yeah.
I want more gigs,
From
too.
You, too, as well, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
We need to write
pleasure.
Some more songs
yeah,
together.
Yeah, I agree with
Eddie?
That.
Eddie? Yeah.
Look at you with your rosy
yeah,
cheeks.
Here. I'm here.
We almost look like you want a hug.
I don't. No, I don't.
Well,
I'm good.
I'm glad you're here, Eddie.
Thanks.
All right, we'll see you guys
All
next
right.
week.
Bye.